Good evening and welcome back to our service tonight. So glad you are here. Let's stand together. We're going to begin a time of singing.
Love he condescends. My future in Christ is clear. My sins have been paid.
Standing for an opening word of prayer.
Let's pray together. Our Father, we have sung in several different ways tonight that the work for our redemption was finished upon the cross. And when you saved us for time and eternity. Lord, we thank you for the great truth that in Christ, the old is gone, the new has come. That we are in Christ, new creations. We thank you, Father, for the change that you've produced. We love you, and we're amazed that you would intervene to save sinners like us, to make us your sons and daughters, to adopt us as your own. Lord, we love you, and we're grateful for the salvation you've purchased in Christ. Even as we're reminded this morning, Lord, we're thankful that Jesus, our Lord, loved me. He loved each one who would ever trust in him individually and died for me. Lord, we thank you for the personal reality of the truth. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity tonight to hear that reality expressed in 13 different testimonies of those who have come to true faith in Jesus Christ and who will give their testimonies to us. Lord, encourage them, strengthen them, and challenge us. Lord, may all of us who are in Christ be reminded of the salvation we enjoy. And Lord, for those who are not in Christ, I pray that you would use even the recounting of the stories of each of these who will come to bring them to true saving faith, to know you through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we welcome you back tonight. Trust you have had a good Lord's Day already. It has been a wonderful day And I want to say a special welcome, first of all, to our guests. Perhaps you're here because of someone who's being baptized. Thank you for coming and supporting them this evening. I know they appreciate that very much. Or maybe in God's providence, you came tonight expecting a different kind of service. You didn't know we were going to have a baptism service. You're in for a treat because we're going to hear from folks who have come to faith in Christ exactly how the Lord brought them to know Him. I think you'll be really encouraged before the evening's done. Before we start, I just want to make sure that we know what is and isn't happening here, because there's a lot of bad teaching about baptism. Some teach that people are actually saved in part because of baptism. That's not what the scriptures teach at all. In fact, you remember the thief on the cross. Jesus said to him, without any baptism, today you will be with me in paradise. In fact, Jesus, when he preached how it was that we come to know God, he said this in Mark 1. He said, repent and believe the gospel. That's how a person comes to know God. Or to use Paul's language in Romans chapter 3, we are justified, we are declared right before God by grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So there's nothing that we do to earn a right standing before God, to somehow be accepted by Him. It's all what Christ has done. So what role does baptism play then? The people who are going to be baptized tonight have already repented and believed the gospel. They're going to share that with you. Baptism is merely a picture of the spiritual reality that's already happened to them. Jesus said, make disciples, then baptize them. Baptism comes after you become a disciple, after you become a follower of Jesus Christ. And it's a picture of an amazing reality. When I put the person under the water, it's a testimony that the person they used to be died. That person isn't anymore. They've been made a new creation. As Jesus put it, they've experienced the new birth. They're new in Him. And then buried, that old person's gone as they go under the water. And then as I bring them up out of the water, it pictures the reality that they have been raised with Christ to new life. They're a new creation, as Paul puts it. And so that's a beautiful testament to what's already happened. So I hope as they come to share their testimonies with us tonight, you'll pray for them. Maybe as you hear the testimonies, one or more will resonate with you. And for those of you who are in Christ, you can pray for them, let them know how much you were encouraged by and appreciated their testimonies. But I hope you will pray for them as they come now to share their stories with us.
Hello, my name is David Andres. I was raised in a Christian home by loving parents. From a young age, I attended church regularly, participated in Sunday school, and learned about Jesus and the stories of the Bible. I was surrounded by friends and family who shared the Christian faith, and Christianity was always a familiar part of my life. I knew scripture verses such as Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God," and Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." However, I did not truly understand the weight of these truths. I viewed myself as a pretty good kid. I was generally kind and well-behaved and assumed this was what it meant to be a Christian. I did not fully recognize that my sins, like fighting with my brothers, lying, gossiping, and other everyday disobediences, separated me from God just as much as more obvious sins. I had knowledge of Jesus, but I did not yet understand my personal need for a Savior. That understanding came through the conviction of the Holy Spirit. As I learned more about the fruit of the Spirit described in Galatians 5:22 through 23, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, I became aware that I could not live this way on my own. The Holy Spirit convicted me of my sin and showed me that my inability to live righteously revealed my need for Christ. Through this conviction, God began exposing areas of sin in my life and leading me to genuine repentance. Although I had always believed that Jesus is my Savior, that he had died for our sins, it was at my conversion that I realized the personal significance of the gospel in my own life. Jesus says in John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. I am grateful that God, by his grace, drew me to himself, because to my own desires, I would choose myself over him every time. God revealed the seriousness of my sin against him, convicted my heart, and at the same time offered hope and redemption through the gospel. As Romans 10:9 declares, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I believe this with all my heart, and I know that it is God who led me to his saving faith. Since my salvation, the Holy Spirit has continued to work in my life, progressively sanctifying me. He has given me a growing desire for God's word, a love for truth, and a longing to live in a way that honors Christ. Although I still struggle with sin, I find encouragement in Paul's words in Romans 7:14-15. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. This reminds me that this struggle does not negate salvation, but points me back to my continual dependence on Christ. God is continuing to sanctify me to become more like Jesus. Today, I seek to grow my relationship with God through daily time in his word, prayer, and obedience. I also learn through Christian resources like For the Gospel with Kosti Hinn, and by surrounding myself with other believers who love Jesus. Having the encouragement of those with the same faith is something I believe God uses to strengthen our faith and walk in obedience with him. Tonight, I'm here to be baptized.
Well, David, thank you for sharing your story. You mentioned a verse that really is the heart of the gospel, because you have confessed Jesus as Lord, and because you believed in your heart everything that he taught about himself, and you put your faith in his finished work. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Megan Corradino. Before salvation, I was a miserable person. As a child, I grew up in church, and I had a very loving family. I heard the gospel, but I doubted everything I heard in Sunday school. When I was 15 years old, I was introduced to the prosperity gospel, and I was taught that miracles and signs were the only proof of salvation and good works. After living a life of lies in my teens, I fell away from the church at age 20. In my 20s, I was rebellious, and I became a very depressed and overwhelmed, stressed out person, dependent on worldly things for security and peace, which I could never attain. I struggled with alcoholism from 2016 to 2020, but even after being sober for a few years, I was still extremely depressed, hoping I could find a way to experience peace and joy on my own. And I never could experience it on my own. My family reminded me that Jesus loved me and that Jesus was the only way to find peace. I denied it for a while. I argued with them. I was even cruel and lashed out at them as they were trying to share the gospel with me. Little did I know, I was experiencing conviction. Often at night, I found myself crying out to God, and I thought to myself, if I need God when I'm struggling, maybe I need God every minute of every day, all the time. I need a Savior. Sorry, one moment. I felt conviction as I started to read the Bible daily. I began truly understanding that Jesus died for my sins and lived a perfect life. He died so that I could live. I started listening to Countryside sermons last year, and it completely changed my life. I heard a sermon called, I believe it was, Why Do Good Things Happen to Bad People? And then it all started to make sense. There is nothing I could do. I had done far too much to be saved. I couldn't save myself. I missed the mark. Far too many sins I had done. And then my loving parents, they shared with me this verse, For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And then no man is good. It says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not even one, Romans 3:10. I was hopeless and in deep need of saving, but I was also comforted to know I couldn't save myself. There was no need. I couldn't do it. And I could not create my own peace or happiness. I needed God, and I needed to be saved. For by grace you have been saved, through faith and not by yourselves. It is the gift of God, Ephesians 2:8. I thank my Lord every day for giving my parents the patience to pray for me, even though I rejected what they had told me for years. Never quit praying for your adult children who might be lost. The last 12 months, I've learned so much. I can sing and dance again. I feel joy, and I desire God, and I want to love others more than myself. Life is no longer about me, but it's about loving and obeying God. As my Lord commands, and as Christ's love has compelled me, I'm here to be baptized as I have put my faith in Christ.
Well, Megan, we rejoice with you, with your family, for what the Lord's done in your life, because you have acknowledged your sinfulness, and because you've come to put your faith in the only one who can save you, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his life, in his death, in his resurrection. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Sean Daniels, and this is my testimony. I always remember believing the Bible, and I don't remember believing that it is not true. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I was raised in a household that taught the Bible, and I believed in Jesus as my Savior as far back as I can remember. Hebrews 4:12 says, For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. I have known and understood for a long time that I am a sinner and needed a Savior. Ephesians 2:1 says, And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. And Romans 8:7 says, Because of the mindset on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. That is why I am so thankful that God has prepared a way for me to be saved and accepted into his kingdom. Titus 3:5 says, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. God's justice condemned me, the sinner, to eternal hell. But because of the great love of which the Father, he sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, as a propitiation for my sins. 1 John 4:10 says, In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. As I got older, through listening to the teaching of God's word and reading the Bible, I gained an understanding of how bad sin is and how good God is. Ephesians 2:4 through 5 says, But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. It is God who has taught me of his great love and mercy, and it is God who granted me repentance and given me the faith to believe in him. Romans 10:17 says, Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And Ephesians 2:8 says, For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. I praise God and thank him for pursuing and saving me and continuing to teach me day by day just as he chose me in him before the foundation of the world, that I would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined me to adoption through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1, 4 through 5. I desire to serve Jesus Christ and worship him. I pray God's word changes my heart to be more like him. My desire is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Matthew 6, 33 says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And that is why I'm here to be baptized.
Well, Sean, because you have repented of your sins and put your faith in Christ, because God, as you shared from Ephesians 2, and his great love with which he loved us, has given you life, because you're a new creation in Christ, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Glennis. I grew up in the Episcopal Church, which had no impact on me with its rituals and hypocrisy. There were several stepfathers in my childhood, but no father figure. I believed there was a Heavenly Father, but that he was there for other people, just not me. I was a prideful, independent loner, thinking I could go through life on my own strength and autonomy. Sin caused my life to become more difficult and lonely with each passing year. In my 30s, I began trying to earn God's approval and acceptance. As we know from Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. At age 39, I found myself in a second bad marriage to an unbeliever. The Lord put me in a group of Christian women in my path, and through them, God was at work in me. Mark 9:24 resounded with me. Lord, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. Psalm 27:10 encouraged me with the words, if my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. I began to understand that God was there for me. Like the Apostle Paul, the scales gradually fell from my eyes. There was no specific moment I can make reference to, but finally, at age 39, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I was very touched by Psalm 139:16, which states, Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God knew me before I even existed. Which is a pretty lofty thing to attain, but that's how concerned he is about us. Galatians 2:20 tells us, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I understood the depth of these words and became a believer. Since that time, the gifts of the Spirit have been forgiveness for others and having a servant's heart for ministry. The command, let not your heart be troubled, in John 14:1, has been a motivating verse toward forgiveness. I'm often inspired by Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. My sinful pride has kept me from tonight's act of obedience in my 3 years here. I'm growing as a Christian woman through the pastoral leadership here at Countryside, daily Bible reading, a commitment to prayer, and being involved in ministry. For it is God who works in you to will and act in order to fulfill his good purpose. From Philippians 2:13. Tonight I am privileged to be here to be baptized.
Well, Glennis, we are so grateful for the Lord's work in your life, that he brought you in time to understand your sin, to acknowledge your sin, and to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because you have confessed that here before us all. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Tucker Chaga. Before I was saved, I was lazy, argumentative, and I did and said whatever I wanted. My time was equally divided between work, my computer, and sleep. And I didn't see any need to attend church or to read the Word of God. My life and everything I did was governed by my sin. Even though I knew God, I did not honor him as God or give thanks, and I became futile in my reasoning, and my senseless heart was darkened. Romans 1:28. And I could tell there was something missing in my life, but I was far too lazy and complacent to do anything about it. My mother, also sensing that there was something wrong, did what any concerned mother would do, and she set me up on a blind date. While this girl and I did not really have a lot in common, I did learn a lot about her life and how her faith was the most important part of it. More specifically, she told me about her testimony, and listening to it gave me a glimpse at just how fulfilling and edifying it is to live a life in Christ. I couldn't help but compare it to my own life. And then I realized that the thing that animated this woman's life is exactly the thing that was missing in my life, and that would be Christ. The words of Matthew 7:16 were on full display. You will know them by their fruits. And I had no fruits. I lived for myself and not for Christ. I did what I wanted and not what would be pleasing to God. And as a result, my life was fruitless and without any real meaning. The next day, I bought my first Bible, and I began reading. And while I am nowhere near where I want to be spiritually, I am determined to continue growing in my understanding and love for God. Now knowing that my life is not my own, but has been purchased by the blood of Christ, I am constantly trying to improve my actions, my words, my thoughts, whether at home or absent, my ambition is to be pleasing to him. 2 Corinthians 5:9. As such, I've done my best to become more agreeable, and I'm constantly working towards being more active and Christ-like in my life. Today, I regularly attend church and spend time praying and in the Word daily. I've joined a few ministries here at Countryside, and I'm currently working through the Partners Program. I've surrounded myself with like-minded believers and with counselors to help push me in my walk with Christ. Because I now know that I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Galatians 2:20. So I'm here tonight to be baptized.
Well, Tucker, because of your testimony, I'm struck with the fact that providence is an amazing thing. Not many people come to faith through a blind date. But, you know, the Lord uses so many different ways to open our eyes and bring us to himself, because he has opened your eyes, because you have seen your sin, and because you've seen Christ and the responsibility to repent and believe in him. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth Berto. From the time I was a small child, even before my parents were saved, my grandparents brought me to church. I sincerely can't remember a time when I didn't know of God's saving grace. I was even eagerly baptized as a child. As 1 John 1:8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Despite the knowledge I had, I was deceived and would have denied I was a sinner, or at least would have said I wasn't a bad sinner. John continues in verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. I had deceived myself and I lived a life full of sin. I had a temper, I cursed heavily, drank to excess regularly with friends, among many other sins. And worse still, I was proud of my sins and even flaunted them. My life made it clear that his word was not in me. Then, somewhere along the way, I began to feel trapped in my sin. I struggled between wanting to let go of my sin, but at the same time, not wanting to. When COVID happened, my life began to change. God used this time to begin separating me from friends who encouraged my sinful life, and the bad habits I had grown comfortable in were forced to change. God also brought me to solid theology during this time as well. Then, after nearly 10 years of waiting, God allowed my husband and I to conceive a child. When I saw those two pink lines, I knew how desperately I needed Jesus. For the first time in years, I began to read the Bible. I remember reading 1 Timothy 1:15 through 17, where Paul says, "This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." In those words, for the first time, I truly saw myself for the depraved sinner I was. There was no comparison of how bad my sin really was. I saw how deeply I needed Christ. In 1 John 1:9, it says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I now understand the profound truth in that statement. Since that summer, my life is unrecognizable. God has brought me healing for past hurts and a joy for being among believers at church. My speech reflects the change in my heart daily. I've seen the fruit of self-control, patience, and gentleness as God has changed my temper. And more importantly, I hate these sins and the other sins in my life, something that never characterized my life before. James 1:19-22 says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." I am glad that in Christ I am now able to say that this passage in James describes me more and more each day, and that I can say I am now a doer, not a hearer only of God's word. I continue to search after God in a way that I never have before. I'm constantly thriving for greater consistency in Bible reading. I spend my time listening to solid theological teachings through online sermons and podcasts. I try to read books that help me grow in the Lord in areas I struggle. Through my struggles, I am also learning to pray without ceasing as I bring those struggles to the Lord. I'm regularly looking for opportunities to grow in my relationship with God and glorify him and enjoy him forever. And that is why I'm here to be baptized.
Well, Elizabeth, we are so grateful for the work that the Lord has done in your heart, that he opened your eyes to your sin. That's where it begins, isn't it? But then beyond that, he also opened your eyes to the Savior. Because you have confessed Jesus as Savior and Lord, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Brady Lowe. I grew up in a Christian family, attended a Christian school, and occasional church. As I got older and through much of my young adult life, my spiritual life wasn't something that I considered. I had always believed in Jesus, but never questioned the way that I lived in light of that claim. In short, I considered myself to be a good person, living a good life, that would go to heaven if I died, and that was the extent of my thoughts. Ephesians 2:1-3 says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the curse of this world, following the prince of power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we by nature, children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. After reconnecting with an old friend, I began to attend a weekly Bible study, and the Lord began to show me who he was and what Christ did. Although I knew the gospel and I had heard it many times, I finally saw it in the right way. I realized that my works and honest living meant nothing. I learned that I am a sinful man in need of a savior. And it's only by the blood of Christ that I am forgiven and not by works. I understood the gospel for the first time in its simplicity, and that is, I am born sinful. God sent his son on my behalf to pay a price that I could never pay because he loves me. I get to walk with him and be with him in heaven with no merit of my own." Luke 18:10-14 says, "Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed this, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get.' But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you this, this man went to the house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Like the parable said, it is only by his mercy that I am justified. I now live with an understanding of and knowledge of who Christ is and how I'm to strive to live like him. I have a new heart and I have new eyes to see things I could not before. I have biblical wisdom and counsel for friends who love me. They give me hope and strength through trials. I see God's work in my wife, in my marriage, and in my family. I can look back at my own life and see his hand in every aspect of struggle and success. He is stretching my faith and growing me, and although painful at times, I always see his purpose and know that he is sovereign over my life and that I can have peace." Ephesians 1:5-7 says, "He predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Christ Jesus, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, in which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the richness of his grace." And that is why I'm here today to be baptized.
Well, Brady, we are so grateful that the Lord in his grace brought you, like the tax collector, to see your need and to cry out for his mercy. And because you have cried out for his mercy, because he's declared you right with him through the work of his son, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Mandy Lowe. When I was a little girl, about 8 years old, I can remember going to church with my neighbor, who was the same age as me. And on the way home one day from church, I told her that I wanted to be a Christian. She said, "All you have to do is ask God into your heart, and so it will be." So I did. I sat in the back of the red Cadillac and asked him to come into my heart. But as I grew up, church was not a thing for me and my family. I would get bits and pieces of the gospel during my life through others along the way. I never did not believe, but I also wasn't living for Christ. And my life didn't point towards being a Christian. I soon started to forget who God was or my need for a savior. Chaos surrounded me, and I was living a sinful life, making bad mistakes and never, ever putting him first. Without him, my world was falling apart every day. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. After a few years of marriage and after becoming a mother, God began to make it clear to me the consequences of a life without Jesus. I started to recognize the destruction that I saw in many homes and families. I knew that without God's grace, that was going to be my path, and I didn't want that. God showed me that I was a sinner and incapable of saving myself. My good works meant nothing, and I was solely reliant on the blood of Christ to cover me and renew me. Around this time, God brought my husband and I to Countryside Bible Church, where we began to attend regularly. I soon started to see God working in my daily life. Scripture took meaning, and it became real for the first time. As something I could live my life in accordance to, and I began to understand the importance of repentance. Acts 3:19, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. My life now is established in joy, hope, and the redeeming power of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Psalm 51:10 through 12. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit with me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Now when I look back, I see God's fingerprints all over my life, my children, and in my marriage. Today, as a response of obedience to God and the joy of being born again and to proclaim what he has done for me, I am here to be baptized.
Well, Mandy, we are so grateful for what the Lord's done in your life, for both you and your husband, for how he's brought you to know him, because you have repented of your sins, and therefore your sins have been blotted out, not because you deserve it or any of us deserve it, but because Christ paid for those sins. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Wade Bruton, and this is my testimony. Before my salvation, it was a lot like James 3:16, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. I grew up in a broken home. Both my mom and my father had multiple marriages. This didn't make me think that my parents didn't love me. It just told me that when things got tough, running was the easy way out. This molded my life for the next 25 years. If life got tough, I just ran. I knew that if I found the next best thing that made me happy, then all would be good. It didn't matter what it was. Everything only satisfied me for a short time, and then I would want or need the next best thing. It didn't matter who I hurt or what I had to do to get it, because I was owed this. This was the case for everything in my life, from cars to relationships. If I didn't like it anymore, or if it got too tough, I just ran. Ran to what I thought was the next best thing that was gonna make me happy. I knew that all of this was not happening because of the things I was doing. I thought it was because God was punishing me. It was never my fault. It was always everyone else's fault, including God. Here I was, my whole life, claiming to be a Christian, but blaming everything that happened in my life on God. Why was God picking on me out of everyone to have a life like this? Things changed in 2021. When I started going to Countryside with my wife, finally, for the first time, I was hearing the true gospel. Even after hearing the biblical truth, I still did not change. I still wanted the next best thing. If I felt like I was not getting what I thought I deserved, then I was going to do what I had to do to get it. Didn't matter if it was reaching out to other women or going to buy something I really didn't need. I was going to get it satisfaction one way or another. Well, all that satisfaction I thought I needed caught up to me. In the middle of the night, I got a phone call from a girl I had known for many years. I had never been truthful to her about being married. I thought, what have I done wrong? All I was doing was talking to her. What was the big deal? So I was done. I packed up my stuff and just left. That was that. I was done and over it, and I knew I could find happiness somewhere else. Over the next several months, I had several shepherds reach out to me from countryside. And I would just ignore the calls or the text. In March of 2024, I reached out to our counselor at Countryside and asked if he could meet me. Without hesitation, he set up a meeting with me the next day. During our meeting, he gave me Passions of the Heart by John Street. On March 3rd of 2024, I was reading the book, and it started talking about communion. It stated that if a non-believer took communion, that the Lord could strike you dead. At that moment, all I could think was how, after all these years of taking communion, thinking I was a believer, but knowing I really wasn't, the Lord spared my life. First Corinthians 11:27. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in any worthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Verse 30 says, that is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. In that moment, all I could think is, wow, how gracious is our Father. I fell to my knees and begged for forgiveness. I cried out to the Lord to forgive me for all my sins. 1 John 1:9 says, if we can confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. At that moment, he reminded me of sins that I had long forgot about, so I could repent of them. James 4:6, but he gives a greater grace. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Our Lord was showing me all the things he had blessed me with, and I was too prideful to think they were a gift from God. Since coming to Christ, my life has been filled with a lot more joy. My heart has been completely transformed. I once thought that I knew what love was, but I did not know what true love was until my conversion with Christ. 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, hopes all things, endures all things. This does not mean I do not sin, as we all sin. Now I repent of my sin and ask for forgiveness from my Lord and Savior, as well as forgiveness from the one I have sinned against. Now I devote as much time as I can to the Lord, reading his word daily, listening to Tom and John MacArthur's podcast throughout the week. I serve in sword drills, as well as attending home fellowship at Countryside. I will forever be grateful. That my Heavenly Father led me to Countryside Bible Church. It not only saved my soul, but it also saved my life. Philippians 3:13, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forget what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. This is why I'm here to be baptized tonight.
Wade, we are so encouraged by your testimony. Thanks for sharing your heart with us. Wade just had shoulder surgery, but he was so eager to be baptized that we're going to do this together. Because you have clearly repented of your sins, you've acknowledged your sin before the Lord, you've sought his forgiveness, you've purposed to leave those sins behind and to follow him. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Bella Ruth. Before salvation, I was very ignorant. I was in and out of foster care for 9 years and moved all around Houston. Throughout those years, I was forced to go to church. I remember one time when I was 7, I hid at a friend's house because I really didn't want to go. I didn't know why I had to go, and I had no idea what I was learning. No one explained to me who Jesus was or the amazing things he did for us sinners. I lived my life back then, blaming God for where I was and hating him because of my circumstances. But God says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil. To give you a hope and a future. I convinced myself that God didn't love me and he wanted me to suffer. I had no idea that God would be better than anything that has ever happened to me. I was turning 10 when my parents wanted to adopt my siblings and me. I went in with no hope, expecting them to send me back to foster care. But there was something different about them. They were believers. The first in my life. They told me who Jesus was and why I needed him. I believed that there was a God, but I didn't give up my sin. And so for years, I really thought I didn't need him. I remember around this time, I constantly wondered what the point of life was and where I would go when I die. I was terrified of dying because I had no certainty of that I would go to heaven. Because my parents were Christians, we went to go buy Bibles. When I would read the Bible, I looked for things that could relate to my life instead of reading the Bible to learn about God. So I never felt satisfied and saw the words of God as boring. Before attending Countryside, I can't tell you anything that I learned at other churches I attended. I liked the singing part of their service, but when it came to the message, I spaced out. But here at Countryside, Pastor Tom drew my attention because he wouldn't just talk about believers, he also talks about unbelievers and why they need to repent. My parents also made sure to teach me about God even when I was trying to ignore them because I thought I had better things to do. I constantly did things that went against my parents' rules, and of course they always found out. In Luke 8:17, it says, "For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be made known and come to light." I used school to do what I wanted, and my sins kept piling up. It was so bad that my parents had to take me out of school. When I finally got tired of sinning against my parents and causing a void of distrust between us, I cried out to the Lord that he would help me because I couldn't take it anymore. I was so overwhelmed and recognized that my life was hopeless without him. I wanted to give up my burden I had been carrying for years. I was at home that day instead of school when I went to my mom and asked her how to do exactly that. We prayed and she told me what I needed to do. I was 15 years old when I repented of my sins and gave my life to Jesus. I no longer felt alone and hopeless because I found it in Christ. I now understand what the point of life is, to glorify God, to be a light to the world, Matthew 5:14, make disciples of all the nations, Matthew 28:19, and love the Lord with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, Deuteronomy 6:5. I now understand who goes to heaven and who doesn't. Heaven is for those who repented of their sins and believes that Christ is their Savior. Since my conversion, I have felt true happiness and delight in God's word. Psalm 119, 14, 16 through 16 says, in the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your words. I still have trials, but now it brings me closer to God. I don't make decisions based on what the world thinks is fun anymore, but now I pray about it and choose things that would be glorifying God. I found myself wanting unbelievers to know about God's holiness and power, and I have spread the gospel praying that I would lead people to Christ. Lastly, I have yearned to be obedient to the Lord and do all that he commands Christians to do, so that is why I'm here tonight to be baptized.
Thank you, Bella. Great job.
Well, Bella, our hearts are encouraged by what you've shared, that the Lord brought you to see your sin and to see Christ, and because you've repented and believed, you now not only have a loving human family, but you have a Father in heaven who's adopted you as his own daughter. It gives me joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Jason Van Horn. I've always called myself a Christian from the time I was 4 years old, in fact. God was gracious to put me in a family that raised me to know the truth. From my missionary grandparents, who encouraged Bible, scripture reading, and memory, to my mother and father, who were faithful to bring me to church and vacation Bible school, to my godparents, who showed me what it meant to live all of life as a Christian, I'm thankful. I was even baptized when I was 12, affirming all the truths that I had been taught. But despite knowing the truth and really believing it too, I had deceived myself. I was not zealous for God, I was lukewarm. This meant that even though I believed in my head, I did not act from my heart. I struggled with lust, deception, cowardice, and laziness as patterns of sin. I read my Bible sometimes, but I did not truly perceive that it was talking about me. The words were educational rather than life-changing. I would go to church because it was expected with family, but would rush home quickly. I did not seek any further fellowship with other Christians, let alone serve them. I was unaware at the time, but this meant that I was lacking love for my brethren. I was also silent about my faith in the world, unless I was pressed. And I was only Christian as a label, but not as a way of life. When I went off to college, my sin in these areas became all the worse. Actions and words, now uninhibited by living at home, became so evidently un-Christian that when I told a friend I was Christian, he exclaimed, "Wait, really?" And I felt ashamed. I had lived all my life thinking that simply knowing the truth made me saved, but it didn't. That truth had not produced any fruit in me because it had never pierced my heart. Instead, it just made me someone who gave a bad name to Christianity. Jesus himself addresses the lukewarm Laodicean church in Revelation 3:15 through 16, saying, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Fast forward a few years, I met my wonderful wife and became engaged to her. She knew I was a Christian, but I rarely ever talked about God with her, even though I knew she didn't grow up as a Christian. In the process of getting engaged and preparing for marriage, during which we were being given Christian premarital counseling by my faithful uncle and aunt, I started to consider what type of husband and someday father I wanted to be. I knew that I wanted to lead my family in the truth, I began to listen to sermons online and even bought a Bible to read. As I heard more and more truth, I realized how far I had wandered from it. I realized that I wasn't living it. To simply know the truth is not enough. As James 2:19 through 20 states, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" I think this verse was one of the most eye-opening for me. I realized my faith was dead. I had no works to accompany it. I had not produced any fruit. As Jesus says in John 15:5, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." I came to understand my lack of fruitfulness and lack of obedience, which meant a lack of Christ in my life. God was real, so why wasn't I in church? God was real, so why was I living in sin? God was real, so why did I hide my faith? In considering these questions and absorbing the truth, but this time as one who realized his own sorry state, I began to take steps of obedience towards returning to God. After getting married in 2022, I prayed for God to help me find a good church. I listened to a few different churches and sermons online. He led me to Countryside, where, when I listened online, I was reminded of the same Bible church I grew up in and the truths I was taught. Watching a few more times with my wife, who had graciously been joining me on this journey of faith, we eventually went to church in person. We continued that way for a few months, but we still hadn't really connected with anyone, and I didn't want to repeat the lukewarm mistake of simply rushing home after church and never getting involved. So I prayed to God again that he would help us connect with someone at the church because I wasn't sure how to do so. That very night, at the evening service, someone from the young married group called Beginnings tapped me on the shoulder and introduced himself and his wife to us. He introduced us to the rest of the Beginnings group that was present at the service and invited us to join them regularly. And so we did, and got to know and love many brethren. Eventually, we sought ways to serve and did so as we were able. During all this, I began to lead my home spiritually, praying, reading the Bible, and talking through it with my wife. I also became more vocal about my faith at work, with my family, and with my friends. I shared my faith with them, not trying to hide my Christianity. I even began to pray with my wife's family, who graciously joined me in prayer, with whom I had previously downplayed my faith. I became more confident and sociable in all my interactions because for the first time, my true identity matched my proclaimed identity. Despite being lukewarm, Jesus' love was still extended to me. To that same lukewarm Laodicean church, Jesus continues in Revelation 3:19 through 20, saying, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and open up the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." He showed me that my faith was dead and that I needed to seek him and obey him. Rather than simply believing the facts, I believe in a person, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He has saved me by grace through faith, not because of any of my works, just like the Bible describes in Ephesians 2:8 and 9. How do I know? I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I've had a real heart change, and sin no longer reigns. I'm no longer ruled by lust, prone to deception, cowardly in sharing my faith, or wasting away the days as I did before I was being saved. Romans 6:14 says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." So my ability to obey and my increasing victory over sin is proof of the victory Christ has won on the cross and what he has done in my heart. Because I've been given the Holy Spirit, I'm actively killing sin and seeking to obey God, letting myself be motivated by his word. I was once on my way to eternal damnation, but I have now been made part of God's family. Because of God's grace, I love Jesus and I want to obey him. I love other Christians and actually look forward to seeing them instead of just immediately rushing home. Because of God's grace, I read the Bible and meditate on the Bible and pray on a consistent basis. I pray with my family and encourage them to look to Jesus for salvation and sanctification. Now that we have a baby, I'm especially aware of how important my role at home is. So I regularly read scripture with my wife and my daughter, leading them spiritually because Christ leads me. My testimony is that Jesus didn't give up on me, even though I called myself a Christian, while not living like one. The steps of obedience that God brought me through have showed me I am saved, not because I'm perfect, but because Jesus is, and because I believe in him, and see the fruit of that in my life. After all these years, I can truly say I'm a Christian. So this evening, I'm here to be baptized.
Well, Jason, we love your story. We love the fact that God opened your eyes to your false profession of faith in Christ. That, as you said, your faith was dead, wasn't a living faith. And because he has now given you a living faith, a faith that's trusting in Jesus Christ for your salvation, but that it is evidenced by a life of obedience. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening. My name is Addie Spengler, and this is my testimony. I've been in church since I was born. My family started coming to Countryside when I was six, and I grew up hearing the gospel and Bible stories. I was a rule-following church kid with head knowledge, but no heart application. I was always well-behaved on the outside, but my heart was full of just as much rebellious sin as anyone. 1 Samuel 16:7 says in part, "For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." God could see my pride and selfishness. People-pleasing was my idol. I loved having the right answers in Sunday school, but my spiritual eyes were blind to the real truths of Scripture. I was one of those who are perishing in 2 Corinthians 4:4. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. In middle school, we covered 1 John and the tests of eternal life, which made it clear to me I was not saved. At the time, my family began to walk through a series of trials. Along with God's amazing grace and provision, these trials showed me plainly that salvation is individual between you and God. No other person's spiritual or religious condition is important. I started to go through repeating periods of feeling guilty, attempting to do good works to feel better and more Christian, and then complacency in my spiritual condition. For a while, I used my confusion over the principle of predestination as an excuse to delay salvation. I had talked with my mom a lot about this, and one day in February of my junior year, we had another conversation. Finally, several things clicked. I realized salvation was too important to be postponed, and that it was not up to me to ask right. That was a form of earning my salvation. Christ would not turn away a repentant heart for using the wrong words or not being passionate enough. Like he says in John 6:37, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out." That night I prayed for salvation one more time, but this time, I didn't rely on being repentant enough. I let go, and I asked Jesus Christ to save me, because he could do it when I couldn't. It took some time, but God has given me true assurance of my salvation. Lately, God has put me through a trial that shook up every comfort I'm tempted to idolize, reminding me that he is all I can truly rely on. The trust and peace I have had is beyond my own strength. I can see spiritual growth in other ways, too. Scripture, in sermons and personal reading, is alive and applicable, and I love Psalm 119:18. "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." I am no longer secretly guilty, ashamed, or fearful in discussing my spiritual life. Instead, rich fellowship in my small group and at women's ministry events refreshes and encourages me. I try to study my Bible faithfully, lean into fellowship and discipleship, and act in obedience in every way I can. And that obedience is why I'm here tonight to be baptized.
Well, Addie, we are so encouraged by God's work in your life. in your life as an individual, as you said, that he's brought you to see your sin, and he's brought you to see that Christ, as you so beautifully expressed, never turns away a truly repentant heart. Anyone who comes to him in contrition. Because you've done that, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Matthew. Before I became a Christian, my life did not look that much different than those I sat with at church who were genuine believers. I went to church regularly, I prayed often, and even read my Bible. To the world, I certainly looked like a true believer, and I thought I was, because I did the same things those Christians did. I had grown up in a Christian home and acted like a believer most of my life, until my early 30s when I began doubting my own salvation. I wondered if I was a true believer because I could not remember my conversion and I did not seem to have the peace and the joy that other Christians around me exhibited. I also acted like the world and engaged in the same activities they did. I knew the Bible prohibited me from doing them, but I was not that troubled with the things that I did. I remember once asking my family about my conversion, and I was told something to the effect of, I had been in a Sunday school class when I was around 9 or 10 and had even asked Jesus into my heart. They told me I had even been baptized a short time later. I was beginning to do what the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, test yourself to see if you are in the faith. Because of those doubts, I really began to examine my life and compare it with what I was reading in the Bible. What I realized was I was more like the Pharisees in Jesus' day than I was a true believer. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 27, Jesus called the Pharisees hypocrites and compared them to whitewashed tombs. He said they were beautiful on the outside, but inside they were full of dead men's bones. That was me. I had the external appearance of being a Christian, but inside I was still dead in my trespasses and sins, as Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 puts it. Instead of being holy like God required, as Leviticus chapter 19, verse 2 states, I was self-righteous. My life was better described by the deeds of the flesh, as they are listed in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. I concluded I was in fact not a Christian, and my destiny was not heaven, but hell. After seeing who I really was, and understanding I had no assurance of being a Christian or going to heaven, I remember kneeling down beside my bed one night to pray, as I did almost every night, only that night was different. I told God I knew I was a sinner because Romans chapter 3, verse 23 said, "For all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory." I also said I knew my sin deserved his punishment because Romans chapter 6, verse 23 said, "For the wages of sin is death." But I also knew Romans chapter 5, verse 8 said, God demonstrated his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So I asked him to save me. I knew Romans chapter 10, verse 13 said, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I also knew I could never earn my salvation and that the gift of salvation was by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it is a gift from God, so that no one can boast. Since that night, my life began to change, and I began to see the fruit of the Spirit in my life. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 describes that fruit as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I also looked at my sin differently. Unlike before I became a Christian, now I was broken over my sin and did not want to dishonor my Lord. When I confess my sins now, I cling to passages like 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, which says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanses us from all of our unrighteousness. Psalm chapter 103, verse 12, which says that as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our sins from us. Jesus has given me a new heart, a heart that strives to know him better by reading and studying his word so I can apply it and share it with others. I spend time with him every morning as I pray and read his word before I go to work. I also look forward to listening to Pastor Tom on the Word Unleashed and John MacArthur on Grace to You as I move through my day. I love Countryside Bible Church and listening to Pastor Tom every Sunday as he reads the text and explains the text so I can better apply the text. I also enjoy fellowshipping with other believers, whether that is in my time of corporate worship or in a smaller group setting like my Sunday school class. And so I'm here tonight to get baptized as an act of obedience and to let everyone out there know that I have repented of my sin and placed my faith in Christ and him alone for my salvation.
Well, Matthew, because you are no longer a whitewashed tomb filled with dead men's bones, but now you truly have the life of God in you because of the new birth, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, it's been a wonderful evening, hasn't it? It's amazing to see God's grace in 13 different lives. Let's pray together as we conclude our time. Our Father, we are so grateful for the story of grace, the grace that unfolded in the life of our Lord Jesus, that he, your eternal Son, took on flesh, became one of us, lived among us, a perfect life, and then died on the cross to purchase our forgiveness. You raised him from the dead. Lord, we rejoice in the story of grace in his human life. But Father, we thank you for the story of grace in the lives of many here tonight and in the 13 whose testimonies we've heard. That at some point in our lives, you brought us to see our sin, to repent, to believe in Christ, to put our trust in him and him alone. You've changed us. Lord, we are certainly not what we want to be or one day will be, but we thank you that by your grace, by the powerful work of your Spirit, we are not what we used to be. Lord, we praise you for these who've shared their testimonies with us tonight. We pray for them, for David, for Megan, for Sean and Glennis, for Tucker, Elizabeth, Brady, Mandy, for Wade, for Bella, for Jason, for Addie, for Matthew. Lord, in each case, continue the work that you have begun. And I pray that even as you promised, you will bring that work to its completion one day when they will be in your presence and be in their moral characters just like your Son. Lord, thank you again. Encourage us who know you, and I pray you would work in the hearts of those who don't. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, such an encouraging night for us. Earlier, we sang a song that is new for our church, and I want to give you another chance to sing it. So, all sufficient merit, let's stand as we close.
All sufficient merit, shining like the sun, a fortune I inherit by no
are dismissed.
On that judgment tree, I will glory.